Come on, join me. I think Bobby McFerrin wrote that song. I have no idea what else Bobby sings, but I love that little song, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." You need to get home and listen to that. But that's our theme today. When I think about being a disciple, let's pick up where we left off last week. We were in Luke chapter 9, where the feeding of the 5,000 men, plus women and children, no telling how many were there, it had just happened. I'm sure the disciples were so excited because, woo, the crowd of people that had gathered that day. They saw Jesus miraculously feed every one of them. And then they even saw how there were 12 baskets of fish left over. I mean, amazing. But Jesus had to let them in on the reality of the situation, kind of burst their bubble. I can imagine him saying to the disciples that all that were there that day were not going to follow him. Some were there just to be entertained. Do you know some are in church today just to be entertained? Is that a good reason to go to church? No. Some were there just for the free food. They heard, "Woo, there's bread and fish over there. Let's go get some." So I think he fills them in on that. And he quickly reminds them, here was our scripture last week, "If any man will come after me, he is to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now that's exactly what the disciples had done. They had already been on a preaching circuit when, surprisingly, Jesus told them, "Don't take anything for your journey. Don't even take a walking stick, a staff. Don't take a traveler's bag." Listen. "Don't take food. Don't take money. Don't even take a change of clothes." What in the world? "Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town." And by the way, it goes on to say, if they don't accept you, just shake the dust off your feet and keep on trucking. That's the way they were told to go out and preach the gospel. Wow. Jesus basically told them, "I'm going to provide everything that you need." They had given up all to follow Jesus. They were living by faith. Are we supposed to live by faith, church? Yeah. So, let me just remind you this morning, though, living by faith is never easy. I'm sure there were times they struggled just like we do. We worry about all sorts of things. We become very anxious. We become very fearful. That's probably exactly what the disciples were thinking when Jesus shares a story in Luke 12 about a certain rich man. Look at verse 17. Now, let me remind you, this rich man was a very prosperous farmer. You're going to see that in just a moment. The scripture says in verse 17, "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit, my crops.'" Okay, verse 18. "And he said, 'Hey, this will I do. I'm going to pull or tear down my barns, and I'm going to build greater. I'm going to build a bigger one. And there will I bestow, or I'll have enough room to share or store all my fruits, all my crops, and my goods.'" This rich man worried because he had too much. How many of you are like that today? Don't raise your hand. This guy worried because he felt like he had too much. The disciples, by the way, are listening that day, and they're probably worried because they didn't have enough. They might have had cause to envy those around them who were very prosperous. So put yourself in the disciples' shoes, standing around listening to Jesus, and he tells about this rich man that has so much. And they're thinking, wow, I don't know if I have enough. Kind of reminds me of the psalmist, Asaph, in Psalm 73. He says, I'm paraphrasing this, "I envied the proud," listen, when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Have you ever thought that about the rich? You see them on TV and you think, wow, they got it made. So we envy them. We're seeing them prosper even though they're desperately wicked. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like I do. The psalmist is expressing this. They're not plagued with problems like I got. This is what the psalmist is saying. They have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff. They speak only evil. They boast. They enjoy a life of ease with their riches. And their riches just continue to multiply. Then the psalmist says, I try to understand the wicked's and how they prosper, why that happens. What a difficult task. But then he says, but then I went into the sanctuary, O God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. If you want to read that whole passage, it's awesome. Psalm 73. Let me remind you, it's getting a little echo, Colton. You know why we come to church? To get a fresh perspective. Did the psalmist need a fresh perspective that day? He's looking around at the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I can't figure it out. Here they are serving Satan. They're not serving God like I am, but yet they're prospering and I'm struggling. I'm barely getting by. But he went into the sanctuary to get a fresh perspective. A godly view on life instead of our own view or someone else's view. Or someone else's opinion. We need to hear what God has to say. Would y'all agree with that? You say, why do we need to hear what God has to say? Because we are so consumed with stinking thinking most of the time. We've surrounded ourselves with negative people or even our own negative thoughts. Just like this psalmist, man, his thoughts were coming out on paper. He said, I don't understand it. They don't seem to struggle like I do. All this negative thinking. Let me just tell you, all that negativity is going to have an effect on your outlook. And if you want to have true joy in your life and you want to see God's perspective, you're going to have to remove those negative influences from your life. Once the psalmist did that and he got God's perspective, man, he realized in an instant that the wicked are going to be destroyed one day. They're going to be completely swept away. Their time on earth is the only heaven that they will ever experience. You ever thought about that? This is it for them. Then they have to spend an eternity in a place called hell. So who's going to be prospering in the eternal life? We are, not them. He then confesses. Once he sees that, he then confesses, my heart's been bitter. I've been all torn up inside. I've been foolish and ignorant to have these kind of thoughts. Then he begins to focus on what he has. Hey, don't focus on what you don't have. Start focusing on what you do have. God has been so good to us. He says, hey, I belong to you, God. You are my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. You are leading me to a glorious destiny, a place called heaven. Then he says, I desire you more than anything else. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God, you remain the strength of my heart. You are mine forever. You know what God did for him that day when he entered the sanctuary? Turned his thinking all around. We need that. When the disciples looked at their lives, they may have had some of them same negative thoughts. I get nothing but trouble all day long. How many had that thought this week? Every time I turn around, it's something else. Can you imagine the disciples feeling that way? They'd given all to Jesus, but it wasn't hunky-dory roses every day. It was hard. So I believe at this point they needed some reassurance from Jesus, and that's exactly what Jesus gave them. Look at verse 22. Jesus turns to his disciples and says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. He reminds them, take no thought. You know what that means? Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you're going to have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. Now, folks back then had to scramble for life's necessities, not like it is today. Life was hard in biblical times. Their needs just didn't fall into their hands accidentally. And by the way, their needs weren't met by the government either. A good definition of worry is to divide the mind. Say that with me, ready? To divide the mind. Y'all remember the story of Mary and Martha? Mary's at Jesus' feet. Man, she's having a ball worshiping Jesus. Martha is distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She still loved the Lord, but at that moment, the Bible says she was cumbered about. She wasn't able to enjoy the presence of God. Why? Because her mind was divided by the responsibilities, by her responsibilities. Jesus told her, "Thou art careful and troubled." In other words, you're worried and upset about many things. Do you know worry can be an emotional distraction? Think about it. When we allow the duties and the unknowns of life to really absorb us and control us, that's what happens. It becomes a distraction. If we obey the call of discipleship, we're going to have to trust God completely. Have you figured that out yet? God knows our needs, and we must trust Him to meet our needs. Now, my head assures me that He will. But how many of you, your heart on occasion, is still not quite so sure? You ever been there? God, I know you're going to meet my needs. I'm going to trust you. But sometimes we waver. Sometimes we're tempted to believe that, hey, if I follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Remember these points last week? If I abandon possessions, comforts, my career, my family, my friends, myself. If I abandon all of that to follow you, I become a disciple, I'm not going to have enough. We're tempted to start saying, maybe God doesn't care for me. And then we start to worry. Proverbs 12:25, look at this. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. You know what that means? An anxious man or an anxious heart weighs a man down. You ever had an anxious heart? Maybe you're worried about something this morning. Physically, that is so true, how an anxious heart can weigh us down. People get ulcers not so much from what they eat, but from what eats them. What is eating you this morning? Eating you up. Now, it could be a myriad of things. As a disciple, our faith is always going to be tested. He's going to bring things into our life. And I wonder how many of you consider yourself a disciple. You say, yeah, I'm a disciple. Well, how many of you still worry sometimes? I know I do. Now listen, worry is one of those besetting sins that many followers of Jesus have. The reason is because the terms of discipleship are so demanding. And in this crazy, dark, sinful world that we live in, it's so easy to worry about what's happening all around us. The Lord wants us to think about why we're not supposed to worry. I got 3 points for you this morning. Number one, worry is foolish. Say it with me. Ready? Worry is foolish. Look at verse 23. The life is more than meat or food, and the body is more than raiment or clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow. Hey, they don't plant. Nor reap, they don't harvest, which neither have storehouse nor barn. They don't even store their food. Hey, so they don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't even store their own food. And God feedeth them. Woo, let that sink in. God takes care of them. How much more are ye better than the fowls or the birds? Do you know you are more valuable to God than any bird? Thank you, Mr. Sparrow. All right. You're more valuable than any bird. We don't need to fall into the same trap as the rich fool. He believed that life consists of his possessions. Life is more than food and clothes. God has promised us that he's going to take care of us much more than he does for the birds. I wrote this down. I wanted you to see it. When we worry, we forget who God is. Can you say that with me? Ready? When we worry, we forget who God is. Who is he? Our loving Father. And we forget who we are. Who are we? God's valued children. Let me say it one more time. When we worry, we forget who God is. He is our loving Father. And we forget who we are. God's valued children. Number two, not only is worry foolish, but it's futile. Verse 25, and which of you with taking thought, in other words, which of you by worry can add to your stature one cubit? How many have figured out worries don't add an extra inch to your height? Nope. Verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? In other words, if worry can't do a little thing like that, then what's the use of worrying over bigger things? That's what verse 26 is saying. Look at verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not. That means they don't work. They spin not. They don't make their own clothing. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, or he was not dressed like as beautiful as one of these lilies. Verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass. Hey, God cares so wonderfully for flowers. How many love flowers? It's gorgeous. Which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven or the fire. In other words, they're here today and gone tomorrow. I spoke about that a few weeks ago. Flowers don't last forever. How much more will he clothe you? Man, he's certainly going to take care of you. What's the last phrase, though? O ye of little faith. Here's the definition of futile: incapable of producing any useful result. Pointless. Worry is pointless. Worries don't add an inch to your height. Worries don't add an extra minute to your life. In fact, worry shortens your life. It doesn't lengthen it. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. God, who gives beauty to the field, he's not going to strip us bare. If he feeds the birds, he's surely going to feed his children. If he beautifies the plants and the beautiful flowers that grow up one day and are cut down the next, surely he's going to clothe his disciples. Most worry is about things that can't be changed. How many have something in your past that you wish you could change? Every one of us. But you can't go back. Worry is also about things that can't be controlled in the present. There's just some things that we can't control, and they're going on right now in our lives. But then a lot of worry is about things that might not even happen in the future. And we're worrying and stewing over them right now. You know what I've found out, and through my study here, it's better to entrust ourselves to God. Worry denies his loving care. The problem is not his power. How many believe he can do anything? The problem's not his power. The problem is our little faith. Worry is foolish. Worry is futile. Number three, worry is faithless. Look at verse 29. And seek not ye, don't be concerned, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Again, he's telling, don't worry about these things. Verse 30, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. Hey, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. It shouldn't be you. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Hey, he knows your needs. Verse 31, say it with me, ready? But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and all these things. Hey, he's going to give you everything that you need. How many needed that reassurance today? Don't worry. Be happy. God loves you. He's going to take care of you. Now, if we get absorbed with worry over physical, over personal needs, we're being captured by unbelief. And as believers, disciples, we ought to live differently. How can we witness to those around us, encourage them to put their faith in Jesus, if we ourselves are doubting God and we're going around worrying all the time? You know what? We need to replace the concern we have for secondary things with concern about the primary thing. What is the primary thing? Only his kingdom is worthy of our ultimate concern. Hey, you want to worry about something this morning? Are you seeking his kingdom? Are you doing the will of God for your life? That's what you ought to be worried about. And that's the only thing you ought to be worried about. So here's what we need to do. Let's glorify God. Let's do his will. Let's build his kingdom, not our own. And then number four, got one more point. The twin of worry is fear. Y'all know I'm a twin. Me and my twin, we'd be together everywhere. Mom dressed us the same. It was awful. You ought to see those pictures. And so every time you see me, you know, we'd have the same outfit. You'd see my brother. I'm just telling you, a lot of times when you see worry, it's coupled with fear. Jesus addresses this as well. Look at verse 32. Fear not. Don't be afraid, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure. It brings him happiness to give you the kingdom. To supply all your needs as you're seeking him. Look at verse 33. Sell that ye have. Hey, if the Lord leads you to sell your possessions and give them to the poor, that's what you need to do. Sell what that ye have and give alms. If you find somebody in need, hey, this is what stores up treasure for you in heaven. Take what God's blessed you with and give it to somebody else. Because then you're not laying up treasure down here, you're laying up treasure in heaven. That's just one example. Look at the next phrase. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. You know what that's saying? The purses in heaven never get old, never develop holes. How many ladies have a purse got a hole in it? Over time it develops. They wear out. What Jesus is saying here, as you lay up treasure in heaven, you're putting it in purses that never get old, never develop holes. Here's the next phrase, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Your treasure is going to be safe. A lot of us are entrusting the bank to keep up with our treasure. Y'all, is that reliable? But if you're laying up treasures in heaven, it's very reliable. It's going to be safe. It's going to be in God's safekeeping. Look at this, where no thief approaches. Hey, no thief's going to steal it. Neither moth corrupteth. Hey, no moth can destroy it. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart or your desires be also. You know, we're always afraid something's going to happen. Some harm is going to come our way. You know what the Lord reminds us to do? To take some drastic action. Here it is. Finances and possessions, don't grab hold on too long. Nope. Don't trust in them. Dispose of them by investing them for eternity. Invest your treasures in heaven, and that's where your heart will be. So let me ask you today, where is your treasure? That doesn't mean you have to sell everything, get rid of everything. He wants us to have blessings. But hey, he may lead you to, instead of laying up treasures down here, he wants you to lay it in heaven. I want to remind you, I shared that story of the rich man, because I wanted you to see that rich man's treasures were on the earth. And if you read that passage in the earlier part of Luke 12, Jesus calls that man a fool. He built his life around what couldn't last and what really didn't matter. We're called to be rich toward God with a treasure in heaven that can't be stolen and that can't be destroyed. So I want to remind you today, hey, you say, I want to be a disciple. Then don't worry, be happy. Invest in heaven, not earth. Have compassion, not greed. Have confidence in God, not the almighty dollar. A lot of people say, hey, we need to get rid of In God We Trust on our money. One preacher says, you might as well go ahead and mark it off because people aren't trusting in God anyway. They're trusting in money themselves. Itself. Let's not do that. Let me ask you, are you worried about something today? I want to remind you, anything that happens in your life gets God's stamp of approval before it comes your way. Did you get that? Anything. Fill in the blank. It passes through God's desk. He puts his stamp of approval on it before it comes your way. It's working for your good and for his glory. When you realize that, the peace of God comes. I love the verse in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it exceeds anything that we can understand. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing. What's the rest of the verse? Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace is going to guard our heart. His peace is going to guard our mind as we live for him as a disciple. As we lay up treasure in heaven. The bottom line is, God knows our needs. How many would say amen? Amen. The bottom line is, we need to trust him to meet our needs. We are sheep in his flock. He's a good shepherd, y'all. You're just a sheep in his flock. We are children in his family. He's a good, good father. We are servants in his kingdom. And boy, he's going to see to it that our needs are fully met. So don't worry, be happy. Y'all realize the joy of the Lord is your strength? The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You remember the second verse? He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How many never heard that song? You think I'm crazy. How many think I'm crazy anyway? All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Worry is foolish. It's futile. It's faithless. And the twin of worry is fear. Hey, let's lay it at the altar. Let's invest in heaven, not earth. Let's have compassion, not greed. Let's have confidence in God, not money. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus, he'll be your stay. Don't be a doubting Thomas. Rest fully in his promise. Why worry, 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 worry when you can pray? I wonder if you'll come to this old-fashioned altar and say, "Woo, I got some worry in my mind right now." Some of it's on things in the past. Some of it's going on right now, but I don't have any control over it. And some things, I'm worried about the future. Can you lay it at the altar? Would you give it to him and say, "Lord, I desire to be a true disciple. I want to get my eyes off the things of this world. I want to get my eyes on heaven. I need a fresh perspective today. And I'm so glad I entered the sanctuary. I've heard from God." Maybe you need to take some steps in order to meet with the Lord every day. That's like entering the sanctuary, entering your secret place. Get a word from God, a fresh perspective for every day. And then make coming to church a priority to hear what the Lord has to say for your life. So you can cast that worry away. You can walk by faith, not by sight. lay up treasures in heaven.